Good evening and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this Maundy Thursday as we remember Jesus' Last Supper. Before we begin, I just want to note that we will be having communion by using the communion kits. You probably saw them when you came in, but if you didn't get one, raise your hand and Bonnie will be glad to deliver it to you. So, and I thank Bonnie for setting that up. So, very good. We are here this evening for this very special occasion, and I appreciate the choir being here as well and the music they provide. I'm going to ask now if you would join me in the call to worship. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.
For those who want to save their life,
come, let us prepare our hearts to commune with our Lord. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you with heart and life and voice. It seems such a distance from Palm Sunday when you entered Jerusalem with the shouts of the crowd ringing in your ears. Now the crowds have dispersed and we see you gathered with your faithful remnant. But how faithful were they? The disciples remind us that often our own faith is suspect and not always up to the task of following you. Hear us now as we pray our silent confessions. Lord Jesus Christ, when our words and actions reflect a reluctance to confess you publicly as Lord of our lives, when we fear that humbling ourselves would be seen by others as weakness, some kind of defect in our character, when we have betrayed your love for us through our lack of love for you, for others, and for ourselves. When we find ourselves glossing over events of your passion and death because we look forward to Easter as a time to enjoy holidays and have fun. Lord Jesus Christ, fix your mind in us. Empty us of all that hinders us from following you. Exploitation and injustice exist. Hear the good news. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Through his obedience, we are freed from whatever sin enslaves us. Before God, And as we do, we come before the scriptures. And the scripture for this evening is the story that is both familiar and new. Hear now this reading from the 26th chapter of Matthew. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'Teacher,' the teacher says, 'My time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And he replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink of it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight this evening. Amen. When I was a kid, we used to get together with my dad's brother's family from time to time, my uncle and aunt and cousins. And while I much enjoyed playing with my cousins, I also looked forward to the evening meals when we got together, which was when my dad and his brother would regale us with stories of their childhood. Some stories were funny, some were exciting, some were poignant, and some were just plain unbelievable. But they were all important, for they told of my family history and the roots of my own existence. I'm not going to tell you any of those stories here tonight. Well, all right, I'll tell you just one. I can tell you're eager for that. I'll tell you about one that reminds me of where I came from. My dad and his brother were twins, and as such, they shared a lot of common history and common stories. One such story was the time that they were both about 12 or 13, I believe. And one of their classmates had invited all the boys in their class to his birthday party. The only problem was that this boy was not very popular amongst his class. And it turned out that my dad and his brother were the only two that showed up at his birthday party. They did their best to show the disappointed birthday boy a good time. And after the party, as my uncle described it, the twins, my dad and his brother, let the other boys in the class know how disappointed they were in their behavior. And I'll let it rest at that. Dr. Cynthia Campbell, retired president of McCormick Seminary, wrote, "It is not too much to say that Christian identity was formed around the table in the breaking and the sharing of bread, all the while telling the stories of Jesus." She may have been right. Certainly the stories we are told shape us. And among those stories are the stories of our faith. And so here we are gathered around a table to share the bread and the cup of our Lord and to remember all those stories of our faith, and all in the great tradition of our faith. During this Lenten season, I have been exploring the theme, Dine Out with Jesus, where I have looked at the various passages in the Bible where Jesus is sharing a meal with someone, with his disciples, with friends, with large groups, with Pharisees and other authority figures. These meals were the place where some of the most significant social interactions of Jesus's, as recorded in the Gospels of Jesus. But of course, the most significant meal is the one that we commemorate this evening, the one we know as Jesus's Last Supper. This meal was different than any of the others that we have looked at this season. For this meal, Jesus ate only with his disciples, his closest friends. And to do this, he arranged for a meal to be held in a private room so that he could share this last special moment with his earthly family. It is on this night that we commemorate that last meal that Jesus had. As Scripture tells us, this last meal was the Passover meal, the Jewish celebration that in itself commemorates when God led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. It is significant that Jesus would have his last meal to be part of this great Jewish tradition. In the Passover meal, the Jewish people gathered to remember the mighty acts of God, particularly the acts of God that led to their release from slavery in Egypt. The Passover meal includes telling the stories of the suffering of the people of Israel under the Egyptians, and telling the story of how God delivered them from the Egyptians and led them into the promised land. In the Passover meal, the Jews reenact with special food items the story of their suffering and the story of their escape to freedom. It is a meal of stories, both sad and joyful, and all wrapped up in the Passover celebration. And all of this was on Jesus' mind as he arranged for his disciples to prepare his own Passover meal. Jesus knew at the time of his suffering would be close. He also knew that because of his suffering and death, the disciples would suffer as well. And so this was a night of difficulty, which is why he so eagerly sought to share the Passover meal with them. For the Passover meal is all about remembering the suffering of one's ancestors, and remembering how God did not forsake his people and brought them out of slavery into a freedom in a new land. It's about remembering the stories. Jesus took this special meal of remembering and added a new layer to it. A new layer conveyed in just a few words: take, eat, this is my body. Drink of this cup, all of you. He took what was a symbol of salvation for the Jewish people and now expanded it to a new form of salvation for all people. This ritual, this meal, became the center of Christian life. In the early church, worship centered around the meal. It was so much a part of the worship in the early life that Paul had to issue instructions on how it should be treated. In 1 Corinthians, he quotes the words that were already traditional by the time he wrote them out. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord on the night as he was betrayed took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the heart of our Christian worship, gathering to share the bread and the cup in remembrance. In this very act, we not only remember what Christ has done and what Christ has taught, we let those stories shape who we are as individuals and as a people. In this very act, we not only remember what Christ has done, we pass this knowledge on to others. In so doing, we let these stories shape others, just as the stories of our own past shape who we are today. The stories of my dad and my uncle, the ones that they told me and my cousins around the table, the stories that my mom and her family told help shape who I am today. I believe that my concern for those who are abandoned by our society was in part shaped by the story of my father and his brother sticking up for a classmate whom the rest of the class had abandoned. And I wouldn't be surprised if my father's attitude wasn't shaped by the stories that his father or his grandfather told him. And I think that many of our family stories have roots in Christ's story. This is the story that we will engage in this evening. And as we do, you might see how it has shaped the stories of your own life and how it might continue to shape those stories. Amen. The Lord said to Moses, "This shall be a day of remembrance for you." And Paul says to the church, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we gather around this table, remembering the night when Jesus gathered with his disciples around a table to share the Passover meal and to be transformed within it. Join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. You made us in your image and freed us from the bonds of slavery. You claimed us as your people and made covenant to be our God. You fed us manna in the wilderness and brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey. When we forgot your covenant, you spoke through the prophets, calling us to turn again to your ways. Therefore, we praise you. Join in our voices with the celestial choirs and all the faithful in every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In humility, he descends from your heights to kneel in obedience to love's commands. He who is boundless takes on the bondage of our sin. He who is free takes our place in death's prison. He who is risen leads us to eternal life. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this juice from the gifts that you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Christ Jesus. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives might proclaim the one crucified and risen. Gracious God, pour your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and juice, that the bread and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Lead us, O God, by the power of your Spirit, to live as love commands, bound to Christ, set us free for joyful obedience and glad service. As Christ gave his life for ours, help us to live our lives for others with humility and persistent courage. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when, with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table of glory. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And let us join together in the prayer that our Savior Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night in which our Savior was betrayed, he gathered in that room with his disciples to share that Passover meal. And in that meal, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I invite you now all to partake of the wafer, remembering what Christ has done. Same way our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for you." As often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so doing as Christ commands, we partake of this cup, remembering all that Christ taught. Let us pray. God of grace, we give you thanks for the feast of redemption we have shared in the body and the blood of our Savior. As you have nourished us with love, let our lives proclaim your great love for the world through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
So Pilate had Jesus whipped and handed him over to be crucified.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come?
The soldiers took Jesus inside and called together the rest of the company. They put a purple robe on Jesus, made a crown out of thorns, and put it on his head.
For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation.
They took Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull.
To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Do not refuse to hear me, for if you are silent to me, I shall be like those who go down to the pit.
At 9 o'clock in the morning, they crucified him. The notice of the accusation against him read, "The King of the Jews."
You have seen, O Lord. Do not be silent. O Lord, do not be far from me.
They made fun of Jesus, saying to one another, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself."
When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?"
At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, my God, why have you abandoned me?"
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning?"
With a loud cry, Jesus died.
Please rise. Go now in peace as we have entered into those last hours of Jesus' life. We will travel those together. And remember that when we gather again, the resurrection will be upon us. I invite you now to leave the sanctuary in silence.